College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today, a podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Washington head coach Mike Hopkins. This is our special Pac-10 offseason breakdown edition of the College Hoops Today podcast, where we will give you everything you need to know about the Pac-12 from soup to nuts. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Untuckit. Untuckit makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. You know it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Untuckit makes a casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right, and not only do they look good, they feel great. Log on to Untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code HOOPS for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 25 retail locations throughout the country. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code HOOPS for 20% savings. And also, send me your Pac-12 related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And what can you say right now about the Pac-12 conference? Last year, only three teams from this league made the NCAA tournament: Arizona, Arizona State, and UCLA. No teams from this league advanced past the round of 64. And two teams, UCLA and Arizona State, were eliminated in Dayton in the first four. So what does this say about the Pac-12 right now entering 18-19? It's a league full of uncertainty. It's a league right now that has its strongest brand over the last 10 years. Arizona, under Sean Miller, a team that lost five starters from last year's team that won the Pac-12 regular season tournament title, in a rebuilding situation. So what is the landscape of the league? Oregon, to me, is a bona fide top 15, top 20 team in the country, a team that has a legitimate chance, in my opinion, if it can get the quality rim protection that we expect it to get out of this great recruiting class, to be in contention to go to the Final Four for the second time in three seasons. Obviously, Arizona State is trending up under Bobby Hurley. Two key transfers sat out last year, Zylan Cheatham from San Diego State and Rob Edwards for Cleveland State. That's a program on the rise. That's the team that got into the NCAA tournament last year. But I've always felt this. I felt the Pac-12 couldn't be what it's supposed to be without, obviously, a dynamite brand flourishing at UCLA. UCLA is a great recruiting class. They've got, in my opinion, two of the better players in the league back in Jalen Hands and Chris Wilkes. But you lose Aaron Holiday, you lose Thomas Welsh. UCLA not in my preseason top 25, just outside. You need to have either UCLA or Arizona in the top 25 if you're the Pac-12. Right now, ideally, you would like to have both, but both those programs right now with question marks entering 18-19. And I think right now, one of the things you have to look at when you look at the Pac-12 as a whole is the overall distribution of the league. There has been issues with the Pac-12 network. There is no deal with DirecTV. Now, I get, you know, Pac-12 Network. I'm on Spectrum, and I'm in a situation where I watch the Pac-12 religiously because I cover college basketball for my job. But there are people across the country who have DirecTV, and they can't watch a Pac-12 conference game when it's a big game, when it's Arizona, Arizona State, when it's USC on the bubble. That hurts the brand of your conference when you have a network that, again, doesn't get that distribution. And it also hurts the conference when you're in a situation where you're constantly trying to find ways to be in a situation to have your conference alignment for scheduling in place. We saw a scenario last year where the Pac-12 was consistently in a situation where it was struggling to get its scheduling model down. And USC, a team that finished second in the league last year, lost in the Pac-12 tournament title game and did not make the NCAA tournament. This, to me, with Arizona in flux, with UCLA having question marks, is a conference that has some really good teams at the top, Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, and after that, you have a lot of question marks. Now, what can we expect out of Washington in year two? Out of Mike Hopkins, the Huskies head coach, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Washington was one of the surprises last year in the Pac-12 under first-year head coach Mike Hopkins, and the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And you know you have an innovative head coach, and you know you have an innovative media relations department when somebody is going through the media car wash in July. So right now, I was told a long time ago that to be a quality broadcaster, you have to reinvent the wheel with questions when your subject has always been in a situation where he's already dealt with the media. So we are going to reinvent the wheel right now, hopefully with questions that Mike Hopkins hasn't seen in a long time. So, Coach, how did the rainy days in Seattle compare to the gray skies that you dealt with in upstate New York?
You know what? It was very similar in the sense of not a lot of sun during the winter, but you have some great days and more kind of light rain than you have snow, but both great places, both have great people.
Now, for the first time last year, Coach, since 1995, you were not a part of Syracuse's staff. What was it like last year when you would be home flicking around or in your office flicking around and watching the Orange?
Well, the cool thing was, you know, our staff, we had never worked with each other. So it was constant this learning curve of, this is what we want, this is how we teach, this is how we operate. And so our staff started watching every Syracuse game. So it became like our favorite team away from our team. And it was a lot of fun watching. And obviously, they got more of a feel for what I wanted and how I wanted, what it looked like. And, I think it really helped watching those games. And obviously, Syracuse was great to me and helped raise me and, every play and every call and every win and loss. So it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of connection, and we watched almost every game that we could.
Now, you were a head coach for 9 games during the 15-16 season when Coach Boeheim was suspended. And I remember he said during that time that it's very difficult for somebody to take over on a 9-game basis because you're going to have to hand the team back to the person who preceded you. How different was the experience last year coaching your team for the duration of the season versus just having the team at Syracuse for 9 games a couple of years ago?
Well, I just think it's, listen, I think a big part of when you're building a team for a year, it starts in the spring and the summer and, the messaging and, what we believe and how we do things. And, it was just different. I think when a guy like, Jim Boeheim, who's a legend, has to walk away, there's that uncertainty, as much as we've been there and the whole staff and, the DNA is a little bit difficult, but, when you have your whole team and you're doing it the way that you want to do it and you're messaging and being in there grinding with these guys, it just, everybody knew what to expect. There was no curveballs, and that's something that's built over time, not in a 9-game deal.
How often did you talk to Coach Boeheim last year during the season?
You know what? We had played in an exhibition game against St. Martin's, and they had, the first 8 possessions, they made 7 threes. And it was just, it's like the opening day in front of everybody. And so after that, we were going to play Belmont. So I called him on my coach for not defending a 3-point. Where teams are hitting too many threes. And he does, in his typical voice, he goes, you got to make sure you take away those threes. You got to get out. You're getting out to those shooters. And, he's, the great thing about Coach is he's just, simple. It's just simple. And so I talked to him. We texted when we had a big win, or they did. He would text me congratulations. But I know how he is. He's, and the one thing I learned about him and one thing that I've taken is that, you know, when the season's on, you're not really recruiting. You're coaching your team and you're just engrossed in the bunker thinking, how can we get better every day? And so more texting than talking.
Washington head coach Mike Hopkins joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, Mike, for years you were on the radar in college basketball. You were in the Big East. You were in the ACC. You're obviously in the epicenter of sports media, not far from New York City. What is it like now working and living off the radar a little bit in the great Northwest?
Well, it's, you know, the one thing I first of all, I love it. Unbelievable. School, great leaders, great boss. I think the biggest thing is, you know, how can we, you know, when you're in the East Coast and you're in the where the media mecca is, you know, and sometimes you feel being in the West that you're not getting as much exposure because I think our league is really, really good. There's great coaches. There's great players. You know, 2 years ago, there's 13 players drafted in the NBA draft. A lot of great talent. And, you know, you're fighting for that respect. And now being on this side and then getting near the NCAA tournament talk and seeing only three teams get in and knowing what your league has to offer and the coaches in the league and the teams, that you were kind of felt, I don't know, a little disrespected in a large way. And so, you know, it's just a little bit different that way. But basketball-wise, great. Great league, love being in it, and hopefully we can represent it well this year.
Well, and you did last year, obviously in your first season. Now on February 3rd, you were 17-6 and 7-3 in Pac-12 play, and you had a big win over Arizona. You also had a win over Kansas in the non-conference portion of the schedule. You finished league play at 3-5 in your last eight. What happened down the stretch?
Well, we lost a couple games in overtime. That were really close. Oregon State won in the tournament. Oregon State, we were up 13 with 7 minutes to go. And you know, you play a couple teams that are, you know, Utah got to the NIT finals. Oregon, which, you know, it's interesting, even with the NCAA tournament talk and the way teams pick, you know, they didn't have a great non-conference, but boy, when they were at league and Dane Altman, teams just always keep getting better, you know, as the season progresses. And that was one of those types of teams. It felt like, you know, it's just one of those things, the consistency. When you're building a program, we couldn't be as consistent in certain games that we were winning early. And that happens. But, you know, I think the kids were understanding, you know, what it takes to win. You know, through that learning process, you know, it was great. And hopefully it will carry over and help us and elevate us this year.
Now, when you had big wins at Syracuse, players who come to Syracuse obviously know that when they make that commitment, they're going to have to learn how to deal with the expectation of always being the hunted. When you had big wins at Washington, did you find that the kids had a harder time dealing with human nature because maybe they weren't as accustomed to dealing with winning as the kids at Syracuse were?
Well, you're always fighting human nature. And the one thing about the great programs that we're trying to, it's what we're trying to build here is, you know, they expect to win every game that they play. And, you know, we were trying to get that belief, change that mindset. And, you know, we had some great moments, but it goes back to that consistency day in and day out. You know, we could always have a bad game or not execute here and there, but, you know, this year it was one of those things where, you know, we play great at Kansas and we come back and, you know, we were playing Gonzaga at home, and they just lost to Villanova, and we just got, you know, beat pretty bad. And, you know, how did you handle that victory? You know, how does your mindset have to be? And then you go through and you play Arizona State and Arizona at home and emotional victories. Now, how do you handle that? We went down, we lost to Oregon State. So I think, you know, some great learning moments for this team, very difficult. The one thing I did realize, it's hard to win games, and a lot of games come down to making foul shots at the end, not turning the ball over, getting a big rebound, those toughness deals. And we're learning. You know, it was a learning, you know, we were just focused on always getting better, always moving forward. And that's what our focus was. And we lost a couple games that, you know, we could have gotten. Maybe we had the opportunity to get in that tournament.
Washington head coach Mike Hopkins joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. Washington going to be picked next year near the top of the Pac-12. And if you're picked near the top of your conference, it's because you have pretty good players. And Mike, you know, one of your players who I thought didn't get the attention nationally that he deserved last year was Jalen Noel, because he's somebody to me, if he was at Syracuse, people would have talked about him like he was Chris Joseph or Deion Waiters. Which former Syracuse guard that you coached does Jalen Noel most remind you of?
He reminds me of Deion Waiters, and he's alpha male, loves to score, has the ability to get anywhere on the court, loves the moment, and he's just one of those guys. You know, opening day against Belmont, and he goes for 30 plus, and just kind of got into a flow, and he really believes in himself, and he's just extremely talented. But I agree with you, one of the most underrated players in the country.
Now, Mike, you have obviously the luxury of bringing back essentially every rotation player that was a part of last year's run to the postseason NIT. You also, as you know, you always have recruited very well. How deep do you think next year's Washington team can be?
Well, I think we've got, you know, early in the season you win with your veteran players, and we've got a good veteran, you know, group of guys coming back. I think our freshman class is exceptional. You know, one of the things that we needed to do is we needed to get bigger. You know, you look at our zone during some of the crazy times. Obviously, Sam Timmons, great center at 6'10", 6'11". But we had, you know, in the back line, it was Jalen Noel, Noah Dickerson, when we couldn't score, was playing the center. So you're talking 6'6", 6'3", in the back. So we got, you know, Brian Penn Johnson's coming in, 7 foot, 7'7", wingspan, top 100 player. Nate Roberts, 6'11", 7'2", wingspan. Jamal Bay, player of the year in the state of Nevada last year. Elijah Hardy, a great young point guard who makes other guys around him better. Great high school program. Riley Zorn, 7'3", center. So we improved our size. We got a really good point guard. And, you know, it's, I think with young guys, you got to see how they adapt when practice starts and the lights come on. But exceptionally talented, perfect fit for our program and our, you know, how we play.
Which of your returning guys are you anticipating makes the biggest jump next year?
Gosh, we've got, you know, Dom Green in many games. The Arizona game, obviously, the 2-3 is near the stretch. At USC, he was incredible. So, you know, one of the best shooters in the country. So it'll be interesting to see the next step. Naz Carter has had a great summer, a guy who's gained 25 pounds, and he's like Matisse Feibel defensively, but, you know, is an attack player. And I think, you know, our bench last year will be one senior and two guys are going to be sophomores, and they're a lot better. So our top eight has gotten better, and that's really, really important. I think the size of the younger guys, seeing how they can affect us, you know, we could end up going 10 deep. Probably going to have to press a little bit more, but you know, you got to make sure that the talent is on the floor, and we've got a lot of that.
Mike, you know, the Pac-12 last year had three teams in the NCAA tournament. None advanced, you know, past the round of 64. Arizona's obviously in a rebuilding-type situation. As you right now try to put together a team that's going to play in the NCAA tournament 2019, you also have to have a schedule to go along with that. How much has scheduling become, after the roster that you put together, the second most important part of your program?
Well, it's a huge part of it. It's a huge part of it. And I think, you know, you don't want to go down murderer's row in the non-conference, because you also want the young guys to get a chance to play and develop. And, you know, it's about winning games. But, you know, obviously the NCAA committee has put more emphasis in the non-conference, you could tell. But even like us last year, I felt with our non-conference, you know, we played Belmont, who's exceptional, you know, really good program. Had beaten Montana, Kansas. We played Virginia Tech, Providence. I mean, it was the gauntlet. Gonzaga at home. And we still, you know, couldn't get over that hump where you were in consideration or really close consideration. And, you know, I just think it, as a conference, you know, you got to win your non-conference big matchups versus, you know, Power Five conference teams. And that's going to be, I think, a big part of our conference getting respect, and then where the conference can actually carry you to the next step, which is, you know, you lose, you're 10-8. and we were 10-3 in the non-conference. That should be able to get you in the NCAA tournament when your league is strong, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think there's been some great recruiting classes. You saw Oregon's recruiting class. USC's got a lot of talent. UCLA. There's a lot of great teams in this league. Arizona State. So, you know, I know we got some competitive guys out there, and we just got to do better in the non-conference.
Well, obviously, that would obviously benefit the league as a whole. So I know that you're well adept right now at, you know, moonlighting in the media. If you were going to give me right now one team that you think obviously is going to be in contention at the top of the league that you think is obviously a favorite, please pass it along, as well as one team maybe off the radar that you think is a little bit of a sleeper that could emerge in the Pac-12 and 18-19.
Gosh. You know, obviously, let's see. I think USC will be better than people expect. I think they've got really good players. And I know Arizona went through a very tough time last year, you know, with all the stuff that was going on with the NCAA, and they lost a lot of players. And, but Brandon Wayne's a big-time point guard. Chase Fier will be eligible. Brandon Randolph was close to McDonald's All-American. You know, they've got some big-time talent, and Sean Miller's a great basketball coach. And they have a great home court. So they've got a lot of checks next to their name, and they're going to be picked near the bottom of the league. I've seen like 8, 9 different people like that. You can't never sleep on an Arizona team or a Sean Miller coach team. And those guys are scary to me.
Mike, final thing for me. What's the biggest thing right now in late July 2018 that you didn't know a year ago prior to coaching a game at the University of Washington?
I didn't know how any of these guys would play in a game. Weight room was great. Individual workouts were great. And now I know. I know, you know, we know each other. There's been trust that's been built. They know the defense early. You never know how a team's going to adapt, you know, to your defense. When's it going to click? How are they going to get it? Will they understand our, you know, when we make different adjustments, will they be able to adapt? And now we know. And so that's going to be exciting this time of the year moving forward. We're excited about the season. Hopefully we can, you know, represent the Pac-12 and, you know, really do, you know, start off better than we did last year, especially early on.
Well, Coach, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Always good catching up and talking Huskies basketball, and look forward to seeing you during the preseason.
Jane, you promised you were coming down here this year. Is that correct?
I said it's on the radar. I haven't booked a ticket yet, but the Great Northwest is definitely on the radar.
All right, Johnny. Thank you, buddy.
Want to thank Washington head coach Mike Hopkins for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance, and Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter right now. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Crossum, and it's John. Arizona State in the top three next year in the Pac-12? Tell me why. And look, I'm going to unveil my power rankings here in the next couple of minutes, but I think, and I've been very, very opinionated about this, I think Arizona State has a chance to be better next year than they were last year. Now, some people can say, how can you say that? They lost Shannon Evans. They lost Trey Holder. They lost Cody Justice. I was at an Arizona State practice last year in the preseason, and some of the players sitting out, Zylan Cheatham, Rob Edwards, bigger, longer defensively. I thought Arizona State last year couldn't really guard on the perimeter very well. I think you see a scenario where Arizona State's going to be much different, a bigger, longer defensive basketball team. Our next question right now is going to come from Jar Jar Gefilt, and it's John. What is Arizona's ceiling this year and why? Look, Arizona, as I talked about at the top, five starters are gone. You're looking at a transitional type year for Arizona, but the players in that program, and Mike Hopkins just talked about it, have high pedigree right now arriving on campus. Chase Jeter, transfer from Duke. Brandon Williams, top 40 player in the country. Brandon Randolph, again, highly touted player a year ago, didn't do that much as a freshman. Emmanuel Akot, a player I loved last year in Tucson, capable of being a glue guy who can defend multiple positions. I don't think you're going to see the vintage Arizona talent that you saw the last couple of years under Sean Miller, but I still think this is a team that will find its way into the 2019 NCAA tournament. Our final question we are going to take right now is going to be from Jared McHugh, and it's, John, how many NCAA tournament bids do you foresee for the Pac-12 in 2019? That's to be determined. I think you're going to see in the 3-4 range. I think that's fair to say. I think Oregon and Washington are surefire NCAA tournament teams. Arizona State could be in the mix as well. But I think 3-4 right now is going to be the number that I would project before watching any games next season. And, you know, it's another thing that Mike Hopkins said. It's going to come down to what teams do in November and December during a non-conference portion of the schedule. And now time, as we enter our news and notes portion of the College Hoops Today podcast, to get into my Pac-12 offseason power rankings.
John's Pac-12 power rankings.
Oregon is at one, best recruiting class in Ducks history, and also you have, obviously, Peyton Pritchard back running your offense. Washington 2, Arizona State 3, UCLA and USC at 4-5, Colorado 6, Arizona 7, and Stanford, Utah, Oregon State, Cal at 11, Washington State at 12. Now for my Pac-12 preseason sleeper.
John's Pac-12 sleeper.
I'm going to go with Colorado. Tad Boyle, again, one of the college basketball's most underrated coaches. And if you're looking right now for a player that might be off the radar entering next season but won't be by December nationally, it's McKinley Wright, the sophomore lead guard for Colorado, who flourished last year as a freshman. Really talented player, one of the best players in the Pac-12. Also, Colorado has a redshirt freshman coming in, Evan Batty. I think Colorado is going to be a tough team at home. Remember, last year they beat Arizona and Arizona State at home in the middle of the season, really turned things around. Now, who's my Pac-12 preseason player of the year?
John's Pac-12 preseason player of the year.
This is a guy right now who flirted with the NBA draft process and then came back to UCLA. That's Chris Wilk, the talented forward, can play either forward spot for Steve Alford. That's my Pac-12 preseason player of the year. Now, who are the other four on the preseason first team?
John's Pac-12 preseason first team.
Chris Wilkes, obviously, from UCLA, Peyton Pritchard from Oregon, Jalen Noel from Washington, McKinley Wright, who I just talked about from Colorado, and Bol Bol, yes, the son of former and late NBA star Manute Bol, all 7'2 of them. Time now for some impact freshmen.
John's freshman to watch in the Pac-12.
I've got 15 of them, three from Oregon, Bol Bol, Lewis King, Will Richardson, and then I've got four from UCLA, Moses Brown, Sharif O'Neal, Jules Bernard, and Tiger Campbell, three from SC, Kevin Porter, Jerron Brooks, and Elijah Weaver, one from Arizona in Brandon Williams, Lugans Dort and Tayshaun Cherry from Arizona State, Cormac Ryan from Stanford, and Jamal Bay from Washington, Kevin Porter from USC. A lot of people, the well-embedded moles I talked to in Southern California, think when all is said and done, this guy could be running the show for the Trojans next year. Now let's look at some impact transfers.
John's transfers to watch in the Pac-12.
Ehab Amin, the grad transfer from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. He's at Oregon. He could be a starter. Two guys I mentioned, Rob Edwards and Zylan Cheatham at Arizona State. Justin Coleman, Chase Jeter, and Ryan Luther all at Arizona. Paris Austin and Mott Stockman at Cal. Charles Jones, the JUCO import at Utah. And Shane Gatling, the JUCO import at Colorado. Now, let's look at some breakout guys.
John's Pac-12 breakout players for next season.
Kenny Wooten from Oregon, Naz Carter from Washington, Brandon Randolph at Arizona, Jalen Hands at UCLA, Kamani Lawrence at Arizona State, Nick Rakosevich at USC, Tyler Bay from Colorado, Oscar Da Silva at Stanford, Ethan Thompson from Oregon State, and Deontay Daniels from Washington State. Play special attention right there to Kamani Lawrence from Arizona State. He, during Arizona State's big-time run last year in November and December, was slowed by injury, never really got no flow. I think this is somebody who could be a starter for the Sun Devils, have a real impact on next season. And also, you know, Kenny Wooten from Oregon is a guy who the Oregon staff really felt like was going to remind people of Jordan Bell. You saw it in spurts last year. You look right now at that Oregon front line. There's Wooten, there's Bol Bol, there's also obviously Paul White, who's more of a cerebral player. Going to be very hard to score against Oregon next year at the front of the rim. We'd like to thank Washington head coach Mike Hopkins for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.